And Zimri, seeing that he had no chance to escape, set the palace on fire and burned himself up in the palace. Zimri only survived 7 days after murdering Elah. And so Jezebel is trying to sober up Jehu. She knows he has just killed her son and her grandson. And she's trying to warn him, watch out. People who slay their king, generals who slay their king, have a way of it getting caught up with, you know. Did Zimri have peace who slew his master? She's hoping this will sober him up and perhaps save her life. Verse 32, and he, Jehu, lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? And there looked out at him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Jehu's horses stomped her. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. Now, I want you to understand Jehu. Jehu is not a Christian. He is the instrument in God's hands of bringing judgment. Now listen to me. This happened all through history. The American Indian was into pure witchcraft. And the white man came in as the instrument of judgment in God's hand. The white man wasn't good. There were no good guys in the story. When you take all into consideration, the Babylonians were wicked, but God used them to punish Judah for their sins. The Assyrians were wicked, but God used them as his rod of correction upon the northern kingdom, Israel. So all through history, God uses wicked men to punish the wicked or even Christians that sin. Maybe even your boss. Jehu, to say, shall we say the least, look, this guy just stomped this woman to bits under his horses and walks in and sits down and eats. Shall we say, at the very least, he is somewhat calloused. Verse 34, when he was come in, he did eat and drink, and said, after eating, some 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or an hour have gone by, he's dined. Go see now this cursed woman. Bury her. For after all, she is a king's daughter. You know, a little respect for the dead. You know, it's all, isn't that the way of the world system? They stomp you to death and then want to do something, you know, and then want to do something after they've killed you. Yes. You know, it's like my wife Shirley said, Floyd, if you're ever going to send me flowers, do it while I'm alive. Don't send them when I'm dead, you know. She's the king's daughter. Verse 35. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull, just the skull, and the feet, and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. See, he was there. He was there in the vineyard when Elijah said those words to Ahab. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall never say, this is Jezebel. In other words, they can't find enough to bury and erect a monument. So they would say, here's the final resting place of mighty Jezebel. Is there a God of justice? The wages of sin is death. Payday was a long time coming. She had earned her wages. Ahab had earned his wages. And the question is, does God really get around to doing it? And I want to tell every one of you in this room right now that as surely as God got around to taking care of these two, those of you in this room that have never given your heart to God, you're going to face him someday at judgment. And it's going to go this hard and harder for you. I say that to you because I love you. God brought you here tonight. Some of you in this room right now are not saved. You didn't want to come tonight. But God lets you come tonight because it's not fair for God to punish you eternally if he doesn't warn you. You've been warned tonight that the wheels of justice in God's court may turn slowly, but beloveds, they turn surely. Payday does come. If Jezebel didn't get away with it, you won't either. Some of you can't even look me in the eye right now. If Ahab didn't get away with it, you won't either. But at the same time, for those of us who have trusted God, and for those of you that haven't, still see the heart of God. Why did God let Ahab live those 3 years? Why did he let Jezebel have 15 more years to give them more time to repent? But you hear me tonight, you don't know that you're going to live to face tomorrow. Tonight might be the last warning God's ever going to give you. And if I care about you, I ought to tell you. I may not make it through tonight. Naboth didn't make it that day. As Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, yes, because sentence against evil is not carried out speedily, the hearts of the son of men are continually set to do evil. But beloveds, payday does come. And now I want to remind you of the last part, all of us of the last part of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What else can I say? We ask ourselves the question, where was the God of justice? He was having compassion and patience. Why didn't he defend Naboth? It was Naboth's day to come home. From the day he had been born, God knew what day he would bring him home. He had served his purpose in life. He had run the race that God had set for him. And in that race, he was ready to face God when he died. Lastly, I want to tell you that Jehu, though you might think he had obeyed God, Jehovah, and was a righteous man, he was not. For as you continue reading, you will find that Jehu was delighted when God told him that he was calling on him to wipe out Ahab and Jezebel because they were Baal worshippers, and Jehu hated Baal. Jehu was a golden calf worshiper, and he never turned from the golden calves, even though God, Jehovah, anointed him king, and even though he saw the words of God coming true in his life, he never gave his heart to Jehovah. He burned the temple of Baal, burned the idol of Baal, and slaughtered every single Baal worshiper in the country of Israel so that he could reestablish as the prime religion that of golden calf worship. And so, beloved, for all of us, as we go home tonight, remember, number one, that God keeps his promises. He promises to redeem his own. And he did. And he promises to punish the wicked. And he did. I want you to notice that the death of both the good and the evil in this story were both pretty bad. Being stoned to death is not an easy way to die. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to die quietly in your bed or make the rapture. I hope all of you do. I hope it's tonight. All false religions around the world tell wicked stories about what God's like. If you die a hard death, then you must have been a wicked sinner. Not so scripturally. If that were true, Jesus was wicked. Naboth was wicked. And many, many others. James, the brother of John, beheaded. These stories are important, beloved, because they teach us what God is really like. Man tries to create God in man's image of what he thinks God ought to be like, Deborah. But the Bible tells us what God really is like. And our place is to say, dear God, you're right. I'm glad that at judgment Ahab cannot point his finger at you, nor Jezebel, and say, you didn't warn us. You didn't give us a chance. If you'd have just told us what was ahead for us, we'd have repented. Some of you in this room right now, this is your night to repent, and you're not doing it. You're still bitter. You're still hard and wicked in your heart. Someday God will look you in the face and say, I sent one of my sons to you that night. You could have repented, but you wouldn't. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. Would you stand? Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. our Lord. Would you pray? Father, thank you for loving everyone in this room enough to warn us that you will not tolerate rebellion against you, the King, and that all sin, because you're holy, because you are righteous, all sin must be punished. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by accepting you as our sin bearer, you have made a way that we do not have to face you at judgment, condemned to an eternity without you, but rather, you've made it so easy for us to face you as Father, as Lord, as our God. Father, give those that heard tonight but wouldn't repent the grace to not be able to get what they heard out of their minds till they repent. And for those of us, Father, that used to be wicked like they are, but have repented, the grace to say, thank you, Lord. Truly we are sheep, and our lives are yours, even as the land is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.